Social engineering, we defined it as using different human-based skills to manipulate a person into giving you information or taking some action that they would not normally take.
And the idea behind the capture of the flag aspect is, in a safe environment, essentially see how well people are doing with this kind of stuff.
Correct. Really, our goal was to prove or disprove if security awareness programs are working in America today, and to see how effective they are with all levels of employees, from call centers all the way up to like upper level management.
So, and in general, and I know you're crafting a full report, and we're going to have you back when the full report is complete to talk about more of the ins and outs of this. But in general, how are folks doing?
Well, this is going to sound like a harsh statement, but if we were doing a security audit for the companies that we called, all of them would have failed the audit. because of the information that was gathered was devastating, and every company gave us information where we reached a live person. There was only one company that did not, and the reason was we did not reach a live person.
In other words, you couldn't get through their phone tree?
We reached one person that said, "Oh, there's no one here that can speak to you. Can you call back later?" And gave us a different time to call, and then we called back, and they were closed. So we weren't able to ever get a hold of an individual that we can talk to. And the information gathering from the contestant maybe was they didn't get the proper numbers to use for the day and time slot that they had.
We've all been there when we tried to get through some company and we can't actually find a person. So that may, I guess those awful phone trees may be the best security system that you have. They can't find anybody.
Yeah, we weren't counting that as an actual security measure, but I guess we could.
they failed on the customer service, but they did really well in terms of cybersecurity. Talk a little bit about some of the aspects of this, because this always has struck me as one of the increasingly, as cybersecurity in organizations becomes better, this really becomes the weakest link, it seems to me.
It does. I mean, one of the things that kind of prompted us, we've been working on something for a while in our commercial business that was trying to help companies become more aware. And this contest really helped us out, and I think it will help a lot of people out, because what we found with the results was that there is no sector of business that seems to be more aware of security than another. I mean, we called everything from CFOs all the way down the line to call center people to just secretaries, and everyone with that human factor was more than willing. We had five people out of about 135 phone calls, five people within different companies that shut us down and said, "I don't know about answering these questions." One lady actually hung up on us. but in the end, we would call that company back, get another person, and then be able to ask the same questions and get all the answers that we wanted.
And was it your sense that was this easier or more difficult? Did your contestants have to be more creative than they otherwise would?
I think so, because with malicious social engineering, or if we were hired as an auditor to do so, there's no rules, so to say. You know, you can gather personal information, IP addresses, passwords, things like that. In this contest, we really limited the contestants. We did not want to hear IP addresses, passwords, social security numbers,
right,
credit cards. Those things were disqualifying. If they even tried to reach out for them, the contestant would be shut down, the phone call would be ended, and they would be disqualified.
The information we were trying to obtain
were things like, who handles your dumpsters? Do you have a cafeteria? And if so, is it a third party that delivers the food? What browser do you use? What PDF reader do you use? What operating system do you use? And things like that. The information, again, maybe by itself not devastating, but what we found was that every company that we tried this particular vector I'll describe to you in failed on this. We would ask them, the contestant would ask them, what browser? And they would say something like Internet Explorer. Well, can you open that up and go to the help about and tell me the exact version? So they would do that, and they would say, let's say Internet Explorer 6. Okay, what PDF reader do you use? Adobe. Oh, what version? Same thing. Tell them, and then say, can you go to this URL and just check this out for me? And of course, there was more conversation, and it was more smooth in between those questions. But in essence, that would be the line. It would be, tell me your browser, tell me your PDF reader, go to this URL. And everybody that was asked to go to a URL at the end of that did. And that's a devastating fact that we, when we came back as a team, we sat down and really started to work this into our security awareness program, because it was something that scared us, that this many companies would actually tell that information and then go to a URL, which is really one of the biggest vectors out there. But we just released a movie. I can give you a link for your listeners if you want. That's part of like the security awareness training alerts. That's about one of the biggest flaws in the Microsoft operating system that still exists today. So it's called Microsoft DLL hijacking. And it's things like this. I mean, if we find out what kind of Microsoft software you have on your computer and a malicious social engineer drives you to a URL and you go to that and you open up a file without knowing anything about it, this video shows how easy it is to act.
Yeah, a couple points worth making. You didn't target any government organizations because you didn't want to get into that kind of trouble.
Correct. No government and no financial organizations.
Right.
So, like, no banks, nobody that had anything to do with the financial industries.
And yet, the reason we invited you back was because if most federal agencies, and in fact, this is an area where I think every single person who uses a computer, which I'm guessing is pretty much every government employee out there these days, if you think you're not vulnerable, you're probably the most vulnerable person, or the people who think that they're not vulnerable.
And the government showed interest in this. Many of the agencies in the government want the report before we release it publicly in order to utilize the information in their work. Probably many of the agencies that work with the commercial industry or corporate America, they want this data in order to start using this. Because this data really, what was found was eye-opening. And if it is used, if the companies actually take a look at this and it's used, I think what they'll find is they'll be able to increase their own security awareness programs internally by looking at the vectors that were used, the pretext that were used, and things like that.
If there was one hint that you could offer for folks to get them to think about this in some broader way, that would be what? What can people do, every single person do, to stop this kind of social attack?
Yeah, actually, that's a great question. And this is going to sound like such a generic answer, but I'll explain it if we have the time. Security through education is our motto. And all of these attacks really could have been stopped by the employees being thoroughly educated at the methods that are used. But then education alone, although is the first vital step, it's useless if it's not put into action in a way that the employees need to think about the questions they're being asked. And if the person on the other end of the phone line deserves the answer, you know, for one vector, the one pretext that was used, a person's calling as a customer saying, "I have a problem with my computer. Can you help me fix it?" And the person on the other end of the phone says, "Sure." And he goes, "You know, I can't get to this URL. Can you type into your computer and see if you can get to it?" And twice the man said, I don't know why that would matter. Why would me getting to this URL matter?" And that was good. But then when the contestant said, "It would make me feel better if I knew you can get to it," then the man went right to the URL. Now, I'm thinking to myself, well, he had the right thought in mind, but he got pressured three times to go to that URL, and then he gave in. And the education through that is stick to your guns. You know, if you know that this is not right, like, this customer, who cares if I can get to this URL? Of course, it's customer service. You have to be polite about it. But same token is you can't just blindly go to the URL because it will make this person on the end of the phone feel better. And if it was a malicious social engineer, sure, he would have felt better because there would have been a terrible payload there, and it probably would have had access to that person's computer.